Hey gang, little shout out before the show begins. So if you're in the Kansas City area on November 9th at 3 p.m., there's going to be a pre-modern tournament put on by the Dust Bowl crew. It's called the Dust Bowl Dust Up. It's going to be at Spanky's Card Shop. So again, November 9th, 3 p.m., Gold Border, legal, color proxies, legal. And guess what? I'm doing this shout out because of this tournament. Has a charity element to it. So you can go play pre-modern. Spanky's Card Shop, November 9th, 3 p.m. Hit up the Dust Bowl crew, registration on Spice Rack. And if you are putting on a pre-modern tournament and that pre-modern tournament has some charity element to it, I will give you guys a shout out too. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, folks, to Hardcast. We are live. This is Billy, and I am seated across from Phil Villain. Phil Villain of the Zoo Crew. Phil, please describe your outfit.
So right now I am dressed in a formal Willy Wonka costume, you know, straight down from the shoes up to the vest, the flower vest and everything. Top hat, cane, the whole nine. I really, really tried to bring it home for the costume contest for the All the Hallow Eve.
So we're here at the Zoo Crew Shoe City 2 live Halloween tournament.
Yep, that's true.
Pre-modern.
All Hallows Eve tournament.
But yes. All Hallows Eve.
Yes.
There's a number of people in costumes. Mm-hmm. Congratulations on such a lovely event. I'm having fun.
Oh, thank you. It seems to be going pretty good. Brad Stone tried to come as late as possible to hamstring us, but that was fine. We it did work out. He literally rolled up as people were seating for round one.
He's dressed as Prison Mike.
Prison Mike, which is an awesome costume. Because as soon as he walked in, I said, "Hey, Brad, thanks for being late." And he's like, "It's not Brad, it's Prison Mike."
Yeah,
and then that got me good.
He's going to jail for being tardy to the tournament.
Yeah,
that is. He was not punished with a game one loss though.
I don't know how
I think he made it on time.
Yeah, on time. It was actually incredible.
So today is what is today? Today is October 25th. This is probably going to publish in like 14 days or like whatever, like 10 days. What are you playing today? I'm playing Survival Terrigen. What are you playing?
I'm just playing my mono black, mid range control list.
But you top aided Eternal Weekend with it.
Yeah, yep. Top eight Eternal Weekend. I just made a couple small changes to it. Put a nausea back in the sideboard, which would have helped me in some of the more matchups that where they go wide and stuff like that. But it's rolling, it's flowing. It doesn't seems like it's fine.
Yeah. Not infest, nausea.
Nausea. Yeah, I don't want it to, so if I resolve a hippie, if I'm on a plan where I have to go fast with a hippie, I do not want to kill it.
Got it.
And I don't mind if the rats go.
But sure. Rats already got their value.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're here at Webway Games in Marlborough, Massachusetts. Do they host pre-modern here frequently? Like, what's the schedule?
Yeah, so we usually do pre-modern here every other Sunday. We kind of stay off of the Gen X gaming schedule. We try to do the opposite of them. So if people want to go to that, people want to come to us, they can. Just kind of be respectful of the community. But it's pretty good. There's usually like 8 to 14 people that come. A lot of locals that just kind of started getting into it. And every once in a while we have spikes with more people coming in here and there. But it's generally pretty cool. They have a pre-modern box you can just kind of pick through here and just take whatever.
Yeah.
So they're pretty cool about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And Webway is really easy to work with. Cam and Raph are pretty excellent. And then you got Raph's dad, Big Daddy, who's here all the time. He's a great guy as well. A lot of free labor from Big Daddy. That's what he's always complaining about.
Yeah, that's funny. Big Daddy was very sweet to me. He allowed me to clear out this little corner in the store to record at, and he was like, "Oh, we can move furniture if you like." And I was like, thank you. And he was enthusiastic and pleasant. He's a very kind man. Hospitable.
Yes, he is very hospitable. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Justin. Yep.
Phil's my best friend.
Is that Justin?
Yeah. Yeah, just come over here now, finally.
Yeah. Yep. Justin Moyer, aka Justin Mwah.
Yeah, Justin Moyer is over here now.
Phil,
unfortunately,
you two get on the mic and get.
Phil's my best friend.
We're not actually best friends. I just know him kind of tangentially.
Yeah,
yeah.
I hear you two have a lot of tickle fights.
No. It's a very one-sided tickle fight. It's him tickling me.
Because I win every time.
And then me getting extremely mad.
So is a tickle fight to see who goes first? Or does the winner get tickled? Or does the winner tickle?
Whoever laughs first gets to go first.
But you're tickling and laughing immediately. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Amazing. Amazing.
I mean, I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you two describe, so Zoo Crew is like Duresque's rival crew.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, superior, a lot of people would say.
Yeah. Some people would say. Mm-hmm. Do you, what is Zoo Crew all about? So like Duresque is all about like having like cooking and like being.
Well, I'll start off by saying we do not do charity.
Yeah.
We pocket everything we can.
We pocket no money, and we pretty much lose money every time we do a tournament. But besides that, most of what we're about is just trying to build like a good repertoire of, you know, hospitable people and stuff like that. It's nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I know you guys do the charity thing, and you're all about cooking, which is so strange. I started listening to the Hardcast, and it's cooking all the time, and
yeah.
It just throws me for a loop. You're always talking
like
about
to
bread.
Eat well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's interesting.
Me too.
Yeah, you definitely eat well. But yeah, it's mostly just trying to build like I, at first when I came into pre-modern, I was very opposed to the idea of crews. I was like, this is kind of seems a little bit pretentious and kind of cut off.
It is extremely pretentious.
I think it is, but it isn't, because I think when you have crews and when you have people who know other people, you have a real sense of community that goes about things, and you know everybody. Like, I know like half the people here, and I have zero concerns about anybody really like cheating or anything like that. I'm like, I know you. Like I think it you put a lot more names to faces, and you mm-hmm. become friends much quicker.
Yes.
And I think it's much more, you know, easier to just have a successful community. I think the pretentious thing, I really just think it just hangs on the head of the Duress crew.
Yes.
I think that's
just
very
unbearable.
It's absolutely.
I'm just in it for the yucks.
Yeah.
The yucks.
He's
I
in
love
it.
Going for yucks.
Yeah.
Getting laughs, getting tickles.
Getting tickles. Do you prefer tickling or being tickled?
I prefer tickling. I like getting another people.
I see that.
Especially
I see the
when
look.
They don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. All right.
Yeah. So it's the end of round two.
Yep, end of round two. I think there's 54 or 56 players or so. And,
yeah, this is sick.
Yeah.
Oh, what are the prizes?
The prizes. So first place is a Mox Diamond, and you also get a an altered recurring nightmare. Top eight all
it looks
get
sick. It's got like a blood spatter.
Yep. Blood spatter recurring nightmare.
So cool.
With a,
my beautiful wife had to make all of those.
She's
week.
Very
yep.
skilled.
Yep. Yeah, Harley is skilled. And then top eight, everybody gets a blood splatter hypnotic specter. And then it's for second place, I believe it's a survival. And then third, fourth, there's dreadnoughts. And the last four are going to be Bloodstained Myers. But it prizes out to 12. And 9 through 12 just get Apocalypse, Yavimaya Coasts.
Sick.
And then there's, I think Jesse brought like a 13th prize, which is like some weird card in a like that he got shipped to him. I don't know what that's about, but that'll be given out too. And then WebBay's just raffling off a couple things at the end. And
hell
then,
yeah.
And then there's also a prize for the person with the worst record who played all six rounds.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, that was Cam from WebBay's.
That's a great. Well, I mean, at the end, if you're like 0-3, then there's two people. How do you know what it is?
I think it's a Final Fortune or something like
that's
that.
That's like a $20 card. Imagine like being in a race to lose. Like I will mull to zero.
I didn't even want to tell anybody about it because I was like, this is such a strange thing. And
yeah.
Cam was like, dude, it's great. If you stay all six rounds, the worst person who stays with the worst record, then you get that. And I was like,
I think I don't know whether it's strategically better to mull to zero. Or whether it's better to be on the player of the draw, because then like you always have the backup of,
mm-hmm.
of decking out. Oh, Burn is fucked up. Burn is so
burn
good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Burn's incredible in this. Wow,
this is so insane.
Can you imagine like a Burn Dreadnought matchup, and then Dreadnought player sides in brain freeze to brain freeze themselves
just to get lower?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
You play Final Fortune. You just Final Fortune. And you
yeah.
say, I'll pass.
Yeah,
but there's a strange math in trying to lose
yeah.
the last game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. But all right, the second round just ended.
Yeah, that's Zoo Crew for you. Race to the bottom.
Race to the bottom?
Yeah.
A lot of top eight's been happening for us lately for some people racing to the bottom.
Talk about how many times I've eliminated your entire crew from tournaments.
Excellent. So we heard the chime. We're going to take a break. It's round two at the Shoe City number two.
Shoe City Showdown number two.
That's you're all about the number
Most
twos.
Two
in
all about the number twos.
Yeah. All right. That's God. What happens when you have too many tickle fights. We'll come back later.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye.
And we just finished round three. And it's Billy again. And I'm here with Drew Lemeries. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. And you come from the great state of New Hampshire. Hard as stone.
Granite State, baby.
Granite State Grinders. Can you describe your costume to me, please?
For the zoo crew event, I said, what would be funnier than going as a zookeeper?
You're the zookeeper. You're going to keep them in check.
You know, they've been getting a little rambunctious filling on that run at EW, so we just got to...
Yeah, just tone them down a bit.
Yeah, just, you know, make sure everybody's having a good time, playing it safe.
Yeah.
Just kind of keeping the peace.
Yeah, yeah. So, are you having fun?
Yeah.
How was your drive down here?
It was good. Nice and easy.
Nice and easy?
Yeah.
Like an hour?
Yeah,
an hour.
Yeah. It's the Southern New Hampshire, like, trope of everything's just an hour away.
Exactly. Yeah. Cool. What are you playing today?
I'm playing Tinker Fling.
Flinker?
Yeah, flink him if you got him.
Flink him if you got him. Hell yeah. How are you enjoying? How's your record?
3-0.
Hell yeah. I'm 3-0 also. We're dapping up. I just beat Brad. He was on Quiet Oath.
Yeah. That top table was a murderer's row.
Yeah. During round three, there were 4 of the 8 players were dress crew. Yep. Yep. So who'd you just play against?
I just played against Sly.
Sly? Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, newer player. They haven't played a ton.
Okay,
kind of got to explain Devourer and kind of the combo works.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I explaining some of the interactions in pre-modern is kind of interesting. At EW, I think you were there when somebody was like, wait, how does Tide work?
Yeah.
And they were like, wait, sure. So I don't... And the judge came over, and I was like, hey... If you're feeling like a sensation of like powerlessness and injustice, that means that it's the stack is correct.
Yeah.
If you're like kind of annoyed about how little agency you have right now, that's why. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
That's the format, I guess.
So I saw you at Eternal Weekend.
Yeah.
Did you have fun?
Yeah. No, it was my first time at Eternal Weekend, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Had a great time. Got to hang out with everybody.
Cool. The GSG showed up in force.
Yeah, we had 6 of us.
60? All in one car or 2 cars?
2 cars.
2 cars?
2 cars, yeah.
You know, it'd be kind of fun would be getting a van.
That's an idea.
How about chartering a bus?
Party bus down to EW?
Party bus or even just like I chartered a bus once with the Boy Scouts.
Sure.
Where like my whole troop was sending like 30 people to like Northeastern New Mexico for a backpacking trip.
Oh, sure.
And it was like it's actually, it was like $90 to fly from. I think we flew into Denver and then we chartered a bus to take us down here. And I think it was only like, you know, $30 a head for like a 5-hour ride.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So you're switching up decks. We played at EW.
We did.
You beat yourself up over a misplay.
Yeah. I played like an absolute goon as at EW. I needed to take a step back and kind of. Yeah.
I also was in like a weird mental state. Like I played against Matt Orfanello, who got 9th in Vintage.
In Vintage, yep.
And I severely misplayed a Parallax Wave, and like Phil Villain, who was just in the section before you, Drew. He was like, Billy, calm down, slow down, because he was rooting for me, and I was just misplaying everywhere because I was frantic. And then the next round, I like. Got like way too into it and was inadvertently rude. Yeah. Brad's making fun of us.
Yeah. He did tell me I looked like a child with this costume.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of a kid's costume.
It's
very much a kid's costume.
But I was rude to my next player. Like inadvertently I called an earthquake and I went like, whoa.
I heard you say, but I called the shot. And
Which was, I think, it is exciting, but like, when Gabriel Nassif did that, he stayed ice cold.
Oh yeah,
he didn't count it out. Yeah, yeah.
He knows it's coming.
Yeah, and he just flipped it, and like I think the key there with calling shots is not being loud when you call it.
I'm a big fan of going for, like, put a little chalant on it.
A chalant.
Yeah, put a little. Don't be nonchalant.
Nonchalant.
Give me a little bit of chalant.
Give me the chalant.
It's the amount of time you take to kind of lay everything out. Like, if you're going to make a call shot, you got to build it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you rip it.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the Kibler hand clap.
Okay.
When all the countries play against each other?
Nationals? I don't know.
Yeah, something like
something,
that.
Something, I don't know.
Who's playing one of the teams in the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Rakdos return, just clap.
Yeah.
Open the hands, like.
Yeah.
Just got to kind of show it.
But I had, it's interesting because I am invested in pre-modern social values, but I occasionally catch myself failing to uphold them. Like, every time I, like, do a podcast episode, I cringe. Like, I called my team assholes in the last episode, which is, like, bad vibes. What am I doing?
I think for the crews, if you're not making fun of each other, you don't love each other enough.
That's true.
That's kind of like our vibe is we're allowed to bully each other, but as soon as somebody from outside the crew is like, we shut that down.
Yeah. What do you think about Premodern getting bigger? It's probably doubled in size over the last year.
I think it's great for the community. We had a lot of new players coming in, a lot of people wanting to enjoy the format, looking for that outlet that, you know, maybe contemporary Magic is not giving them.
Sure.
But I think from, you know, like a TO perspective, you know, I know Nick's kind of feeling it from the last episode guys were talking about it. Yeah. And, you know, I've had a couple people ask me, like, hey, when are you going to do a New Hampshire event? Like, what do you guys want to do? And it's like, I have, you know, can we get a store that big? Not talking, you know, 100 people like you guys. Sure. It's just something like the store's in New Hampshire, I can get maybe like 25, 30 people.
32 is pretty solid.
Yeah. So it's like, if I can push for that, you know, we'd like to try something, but it's like, then I got to do all the background of like, try to do that. And it's the more people that get involved, the kind of higher that barrier to entry is. And if people feel like they can't keep running events, then that's how we lose the format.
How about a like an invitational, or like a team thing? Like each team puts up, I don't know, three players or something.
I have been very fond of the idea of like a kind of like an old school like crew battle.
Sure.
Like make it whether it's like three or like give us your seven people and you play like team style. So it's seven matches, best of seven.
Yep.
And just like a crew battle, like.
Yeah.
We'll put up our best, you put up your best.
Sure,
if you want to stream it and do it for charity, whatever, that's awesome. Yeah. It's just like I like more team events, I think, would be really cool. I know Eric's doing another one.
Yep. You
know, ELD's doing another team event. Team events are always gas.
I don't really like team unified because it devolves into like it's mono blue and then wooded foothills and then something else.
Yeah. Where do the swords go?
And it's like it is its own cool format. But it's less interesting if there's a tier one deck in mono blue. So either between Tide or Dreadnought, and like swords being like so much better than Smother or Lightning Bolt, is kind of a little boring.
It feels a little rock, paper, scissors. Like,
exactly.
Did we run into the people that put their good matchups into our seats? And, but I think from the team perspective, like, I just think team events are awesome. Like,
they are fun.
It's great to go with your friends. Like, I remember going to like an old Star City Games team event and it was, we played 9 rounds on day one and we were all just like, can we keep going? Like,
there was
no fatigue. It was just, we're just going to keep jamming because we've been hanging out with our friends all day.
What format did you come from to pre-modern from where?
So I got into Legacy pretty quickly into my Magic kind of career, if you want to call that playing. So I came from Legacy.
Okay. Whenabouts? Do you know what set or what year?
So I first got into Legacy, it would have been shortly after Cons. So probably like 2015, 2016. Because I started playing in Theros Block.
Okay, interesting.
I got right into Standard.
Wow.
I got to start with Thoughtseize. It was great.
So you're like 10 years old as a Magic player.
I was 2014, so... Yeah, I was like 16, 17.
I'm like
16, 17.
I'm like a, I've been playing Magic for like 26 years. Wow, because I started playing in Mercadian Masks, and I remember like people telling me like, do not buy 5th edition booster packs, like because there was still like Saga packs available, and just be like, what do you mean this Morphling is like big in the front and now it's big in the back?
Damage on the stack.
Just like and like showing up to like extended tournaments with Kavu Tribal. And just be like, oh, I got millstones in my sideboard in case it's for the alternate plan. I'm gonna trick them. Yep.
That I hear a lot from people that are like, you know, I have the curse of playing Magic too late, where like I, you know, whether it was born too late or I have a roommate who always tells stories about, you know, selling her Richard Garfield signed Lotus for
$300
money. Yeah. Wow. You know, and it's like, yeah, we just had, you know, coming up in New Hampshire, it was just you had plenty of good people around, plenty of stores, and it was like, I just got to it a little late, and it was like, okay, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Well, thank you for coming on Hardcast for this little post-round three chat. Maybe we're going to get paired into each other. I hope not. I don't know. I feel okay about my Flinker matchup.
I haven't played it a ton, so I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if it's hard or easy.
I think if you're on the, like, multiple wasteland draws, it gets rough.
Yeah. But you can also, like, just turn one Mindstone, turn two Flinker.
Yeah.
And just, like, do...
There's always that, right? That's, the... You know, but...
Yeah.
See?
Whatever happens, I'll be crying about it. All right. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Billy.
Hi, Jay.
Hey. How's it going, Billy?
Round four is just finished.
Yeah.
Are you having fun?
I am having a great time. I was... standing at the front of the store talking with one of the store owners, Raph, and sifting through some bulk rares.
This is a very socially adept store environment.
Oh, for sure.
Like, there's a lot of stores that, like, people, they're a little standoffish or they're a little weird. I think the clients...
Well, let's not be too generous. I mean, we are all weird.
Sure,
so.
Sure. But I think the clientele here is relatively mature. And
definitely.
They're very tapped into their player base in like this like non-hierarchical way. They're like, oh, we're all friends. Like Phil Villain is putting this on,
mm-hmm.
like because he's dope.
Yeah, good old cum runner.
Yeah. and I think the result of having a mature clientele is that like you can be nicer to the people in your store. You don't treat them like little idiot kids or whatever.
For sure. So a little bit of a background on Webway is that the owners of this store I used to hang out with back in like high school.
Wait, no, you're like you like know these
I
people
know
like
these guys
really well.
Super
yeah, yeah.
well.
Yeah. Give us a lore.
So Cam and Raph are the two owners, and back, you know, 15 years ago or whatever, we all used to go to this little store in Massachusetts called The Wiz.
Dog, The Wiz. The Wiz is where I like learned how to play Magic.
For
I
sure.
used to like cry because I lost. I mean, I still cry because I lost. You know, as everybody knows. But that's yeah.
The Wiz was
9 years old.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And The Wiz was awesome. And for so many of us back at that time period, The Wiz was basically like a second. Like it was where you would hang out, just hang. Like it wasn't a lot of people there. Relationship with a game store is like, oh, I go to F&M or whatever and then I go home. Like, dog, we would just be hanging out at The Wiz, like fucking putting up a movie on the TVs that normally show pairings and just like hanging out.
Yeah.
And granted, there's something to be said of, you know, a hangout spot doesn't make money, blah, blah, blah. That's
sure.
probably not always the best business venture. But regardless, it was a place where we all just hung out. And this is one of the few stores that, like, to me, it really has those vibes of, like, I could just chill here.
Yeah.
It, you know, a lot of game stores, you walk in and it's like, oh, I want to, you know, get in, play my Magic, and then leave.
Sure.
Like, you know, I don't want to spend as much time possible there.
Yeah.
This place definitely has the vibes where I would be totally fine. And I mean, like, I went 1-2 today. I dropped from the event. But I'm fine just hanging out. Like,
sure.
I'm going to try and organize a little cube draft in a little bit. I'm having a blast just hanging out with my pals.
That's excellent, man. I'm happy for you. I like this store. Phil is very, the event host.
Yes.
He's done a lot of work for this. Like he showed up to decorate the store. There's Halloween costumes. Zoo Crew is a good lads.
Oh yeah. No, they're putting in a ton of work. I don't want to discount the work of anybody, but it is awesome to see other crews popping up and doing similar amounts of work and putting in the similar amounts of effort that we've really put in with the rest crew and saying like, hey, like obviously they saw what we did and they're trying to do the exact same thing and like build up a store,
but
build
better.
Oh yeah,
there are things, you know, they have better graphic design than us.
They're
significantly
like top 8 cards, fucking sick. I'm sure people will post pictures of them, but like these blood splattered hippies and a blood splattered recurring nightmare. It looks so good, and it's just like it's awesome to see. Obviously, like I totally appreciate the people that are like, I don't want to do work. Yeah. I want to show up, play in an event, and have my fun. And like that is how I engage with those events.
We need those people.
We do need those people. But seeing people be like, wow, I could also put on an event like this, and I could also grow and, you know, foster a community in my little neck of the woods, and see them actually take steps to do that is so, so fucking cool.
It is cool. So just to what makes this event, what do you see, like, using all of your senses, mm-hmm. what do you see that makes this event different than just like an FNM? Like what is different than just like scheduled weekly?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I mean, a lot of it is the size and just, I mean, obviously if, it's weird in that, like, every one of these people could come out to a random FNM and could just, like, come out to game. But there's something to be said about a rarer, a less frequent event that has a little something special to it. It's got promo cards. It's got, you know, cool decorated top 8 cards. It's got a cut to top 8. It's got a little bit higher of an entry fee that it's, you know, you feel like there's a little bit of skin in the game.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that you couldn't do. Like, you could do every single one of these things for every FNM, but at that point it loses a little bit of its luster.
Yeah.
But it just, it has just enough that it's like, oh yeah, no, this is, today's a special day.
Yeah. I am playing a little bit spikier mm-hmm. than I would today.
Oh yeah, for sure.
My
for
last
sure.
opponent, Phil, mm-hmm. who has this dude, Phil Morin.
I know Phil.
He knew me when I was playing like the starter deck.
Oh yeah. No, hell yeah.
Yeah, starter 1999 and bringing that to like Urza's Masks mm-hmm. standard and just getting fucked on. and he committed a player. I morphed an Exalted Angel. He didn't know what it was at the time. And then he swung into it with a Pile Driver. And then he's like, I just fucked this up. Like, and I was like, all right, block. And then he was like, oh, I just fucked this up. I'm like, you know what? I want a Mox Diamond. I want that Mox Diamond. And he was like, and I was like, well, how about this? Call odd or even on this dice.
Yeah.
So that's something I've been doing lately. Yeah. I did it with Drew at Eternal Weekend. Yep. And I like calling odd or even on take backs because mm-hmm. it's like we're homies, but I also want to win.
Yeah, no, so, for sure.
Yeah, maybe that should be like a thing we announce at Duress Crew Ariel. Crew Ariel is.
See, yeah. But now I have a question.
Yeah.
So you said you did it. Who was it? You were playing against Drew. What, Lemurice?
Phil. Phil Morin.
No.
But I also did it again.
EW.
At EW. Yeah.
So. Both Drew and Phil,
yeah,
homies.
Yep.
If this was a rando, would you still have done
absolutely
it?
The fuck not?
So then, what? So then it's not, you know, an REL, you know.
I'm a homie to my homies.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm saying that there's no standard there. The standard is I only do this for my homies. That's not, you know, if you were like, this is Duress Crew policy, then. I would say you have to do it for everybody.
Just like infinite takebacks. Yeah. But like also Brad, let me think. Brad cataclysmed me. I don't know. Well, I don't have to do it to everybody. I do it. I choose to do it to people that I like.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. That's
true. I'm just saying that like you can't be like, this is the standard. This is how, this is our REL level, and then not do it to everybody.
Okay, that was a bad idea.
Yeah, so I'm just clarifying that it was a bad idea.
Yes, yes, you're right. You're right, I'm wrong.
Yes, my superior intellect.
Yeah. what was that from? That was from Battle of Wits, when I was playing Battle of Wits. Yeah. My calculations. A feckless brute has bested me.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, and then we started saying it. Oh my goodness! Did you listen to the last Hardcast? Why not?
Come on, homie. You know the answer to that question.
Are you gonna listen to this one?
Maybe.
Make sure you don't sound too dumb.
Oh no! I'll skip over the part where I am, where I talk.
I started doing like ridiculous voice edits.
Yeah.
In the last one, and I think they're pretty funny, but maybe. I don't know. Listeners, if you like silly voice edits, like I put echo whenever.
Oh, no. Yeah. Billy going off on the audio effects.
Yeah, well, I try to keep it just like peppermint for
some
spice.
Okay.
Anyways, we're dawdling on the topic. This closes this section. Thank you for coming on, Jay.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
I hope your vintage cube fires. I hope you have fun. And, yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Hi, Shane.
Hey, Billy.
How you doing?
2-2 and drop.
I'm sorry to hear that. What'd you play today?
I registered Fincula.
Okay, yeah.
The Esper control with a lot of humans and Exalted Angel.
How did... So, 2-2 drop?
Yes.
Not into it?
I actually, deck's tons of fun to play.
I can imagine.
But mana base is awful.
Yes. I have, what do you think about Mox Diamond Wayfarer in that?
I really don't want to do the Mox Diamond thing for two reasons. First, the deck currently doesn't play any artifacts or enchantments.
Okay.
And I like the idea that I gain card advantage by not playing the card type.
Yep. I think that's great.
So that's where I am on that part.
Strong answer.
Thank you. The second part was, I don't own Mox Diamonds. Okay. I don't feel like dealing with the process of getting them.
Yeah, so. they are a pain to get.
So,
So you're playing Meddling Mage.
Yes.
Finkles.
Yes.
What else is there? Psychotog?
No.
Okay.
3 Mother of Runes.
Okay.
3 Exalted Angel.
Yep.
1 Whip Quarter.
Hell yeah.
1 card I cannot remember the name of. 2-2 for Masks that has Spell Shaper Disenchant.
Devoted Witness.
That one.
Devout Witness.
That one. I keep messing it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the creature base.
Yep.
For instance, I'm running 4 swords, 1 disenchant, 2 smother. I think that's it for instance. Sorceries are Duresses and Vindicates.
Cool.
And the deck kind of just flows well when it does what it wants to do.
Yes.
Between all of the different elements, Meddling Mage, Finkel, or Exalted Angel.
Yeah.
There's some element that a deck generally can't deal with.
Yep.
So it's really cool when it gets rolling. It's just the mana base is awful.
Yeah. That seems fun. I mean, Meddling Mage is hard to play, but like Duress certainly adds some gas to it, you know.
Certainly. It's actually probably the most fun I've had playing pre-modern in the last few months.
Good for you.
Playing this deck.
Yeah.
It feels new. Every game is challenging. I have to leverage information like Meddling Mage in order to know how to make these game decisions. And you have to kind of commit to your game plan ahead of time.
Sure.
I have to figure out, well, I saw a mountain. So my final game plan is I need to have a Mom and Exalted Angel.
Yep.
And the rest of it doesn't matter. The rest is me dealing with whatever my opponent is trying to do to prevent me from getting there.
Making a safe, like, I've been winning a lot of games with Safekeeper Angel in my, like, Survival Terrigen list. And it's just, like, making an angel hard to deal with is, like, because that's, like, the inherent weakness of the card design of Angel is that you sink a ton of mana into one card. And if you can make it have any protection, it's a big deal.
Agreed. Yeah. I won many a matches. Well, the few matches I did win today, I won some of them off the back of an angel, and I couldn't have won them any other way.
Yep.
I played against a Contamination deck.
Sure.
And every creature in their deck can block a Shadow Mage Infiltrator.
Yep.
Meddling Mage is smaller than or the same size as any blocker they can put up.
Yep.
I have a 1 of Whip Quarter and a 1 of a Devout Witness, so they really don't do much. I had to assemble Angel and Mom, and that's all the game plan is going towards.
Yeah.
Meddling Mages, I would name cards, but I'm trying to trade them.
Sure. Yeah.
Anything I can put in front of it and trade, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was a really challenging deck to play.
Yeah.
And I look forward to trying to make the mana base work, because I had multiple games today where I would have won if I was at 2 higher life. I ended up paying 5 life for my mana base.
I was looking at it. I like maybe 2 lairs. What do you think about that?
So lairs are both good and bad.
Yep.
They obviously fix your mana.
Yep.
You really don't want them before turn 4 is the issue.
Yes, they are pretty punishing early.
Because
like a turn 2 lair sucks.
Yeah, a turn 2 lair might be too much because my deck doesn't generate card advantage except through Shadow Mage Infiltrator.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm putting myself behind on the board, it's hard to catch up if I'm also can't generate card advantage.
Yeah.
So lairs, I ran a 1 of lair today.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great one game and awful another.
Yeah, yeah.
So Lair is some kind of mixed on. I also ran a couple gemstone mines today.
Okay.
Had the same problem as the Lair.
Yeah.
Opening on a gemstone mine, miserable.
Pretty rough. Pretty rough, yeah. It's like, yeah, you turn one Duress or whatever, mm-hmm. then you go turn two Meddling Mage, and then it's like turn three, and you're like, oh, I'm going to be on... I can't like play an angel face down on three and then flip it on four. Yeah. Oh, wow. I never realized that. Is that like a turn one gemstone mine turns off a turn four angel flip? Definitionally.
Which is why I've been kind of soft on gemstone mine and Dromar's Cavern.
Sure. Yeah.
Because they prevent the turn four angel
flip. Yeah. Yeah. Because you could go turn one Duress, turn two Mage and be like, all set. Like, I'm going to smash this weenie with this angel. And you're all set up for it. Wow, I never thought about that.
And there's other variations of that. It can be turn one Mom, turn two Meddling Mage and do that.
Yep.
Or turn one Mom, turn two Mana Leak, turn three have the Angel up.
Yep.
So there's a lot of variations to get to the same end game.
Yeah.
But the Gemstone Mine and Dromar's Cavern can at most be a one of.
I think maybe even just each be a one of. Because it's like double Gemstone Mine sucks, double Cavern sucks. But like if you hit both of them, then it actually kind of one enables the other in this funny way.
But that's assuming you have a fourth land.
Yes.
If it's land, Gemstone Mine, Cavern, it's miserable.
That's pretty rough. Let me think. Because then you go land and then you Gemstone on two. I think land, Gemstone, Caverns. Is not that bad.
Three is really important because it's Morphed Angel or Shadow Mage.
Yeah.
I really want to hit three.
So you play like whatever, planes on one, then gem on two, tap the gem again on three, float. And then and then you skip the third counter and you play the cavern on three.
Certainly, but that also takes away the face down angel line.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm just
but that's hitting both of them. Which is uncommon.
Sure. Yeah. But that's what the challenge I have with the deck.
Sure.
I'm 2-2 drop. I would have been 3-1 drop if I had, I think it was two more life one game.
Yeah.
I really need to do some work on the mana base.
It seems difficult. I said Portent. You're specifically not playing Portent as a design choice.
Yes. Portent. Blue is the color that has it's tied with black for, they have about the equal amount of pips.
Yeah.
White has a lot of pips. The other two are medium pips.
Sure.
Playing Portent is, it helps you find that second land. That's great. But it means A, you need to lead on a blue, which is the color I least want to lead on.
Yep.
I want to lead on black for Duress or white for a Mom or a Source of Plowshares.
Yeah.
Leading on blue makes it a bit rougher.
Yep.
You also have the thing where Dreadnought players do, where they kind of put a lot of pressure on a Portent.
And if
it fails, that's kind of the game.
Yes. Yeah.
And Dreadnought at least can play Opt and Peak and AK and other ways to dig a little bit further.
Yeah.
I can't.
That's true.
So if I Portent, don't see a land in the top three that I need, shuffle.
Yep.
That might just be the whole game.
Yes. Or you you keep and then you're like, oh, fuck, I misunderstood.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then Portent also, like, it doesn't necessarily lead to your best turn twos. You don't want to have
that's
an
true. It's just Mage. Yeah.
Correct.
Really. Yeah. Yeah. That's rough. That's a tough spot to be in. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Tithe.
Tithe is basic plans.
Yeah.
That seems so rough.
That seems bad too. Yeah.
I don't know what the solution is. I'm having a lot of fun working on it.
Sure.
And playing the deck.
Yeah.
So, again, most invigorated I felt about playing pre-modern last few months. Not that I was particularly down on it.
Yeah.
But we were getting to that part where the meta was getting a bit stale.
Yeah.
And it wasn't particularly enthralling.
Yeah.
I knew the play pattern of a lot of decks.
Yeah. I find I have a similar experience where if you just, like, switch decks, it's, like, way... Like I've got goblins in the tank for a while now, and I want to learn how to start playing it. But
goblins is actually my next deck. I just ordered the lackeys. I've had everything else forever.
Sure.
10+ years. But I was like, oh, lackeys are like $60 a playset, and I don't know if I'll like this deck. And I was like, you know what? I want to try some other things in pre-modern, and so far it's been paying off. So I look forward to registering goblins in the near future.
Cool. Oh yeah. Well, I hope that your experiment with Esper. What would you call this deck?
Fincula.
Fincula. Yes. I hope your experience with Fincula is enriching. If you don't win, I hope you have fun. I hope you develop a stock list or something like that. I've seen a few people working on various Esper creature decks. I think that's neat. I encourage everybody to continue. And, yeah. Nice chatting.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Cool. Cheers. Hi, Hodge.
Howdy.
So, we are just finishing up round six.
Yep.
And our dear listeners may not know this, but all the homies in New England do. Hodge has the wonderful habit, the beloved social habit, a true community homie, of collecting and publishing and just being like, hey, who made top eight? And then people will like tag you. That's like what you're known for.
Yep. The people need to know.
The people need to know. So you're walking around and it's just like everybody relies upon you on this. It's a quite nice little courtesy you do for the gang.
Yeah. I love to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where are you from?
Originally, I'm from northern Vermont.
Okay.
Born and raised in Colchester, Vermont, which is just outside Burlington, the only place anyone knows in Vermont.
Yeah.
Moved down here after college, and I've been living out of Webster, Mass. For the last, like, 10 years.
So, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So you came here to play. What did you play today?
Today, I played Tinker Welder.
Tinker Welder. Bunch of people on it today.
There were a lot, and very similar decks.
Yeah.
Mono Brown Mud was here.
Yep.
Tinker Fling is here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you do?
So I started off 3-0. It was a good start, and then I got matched with Packard on Enchantress.
He's fearsome.
He is fearsome, and it's a tough matchup. It's tough to prison out Enchantress. They just kind of go over the top of you.
Yeah.
Lost to Packard in a good three games, and then Rich Shea on Enchantress in the fifth round.
So, yeah.
An even more final boss.
Yeah.
Again, tough three games, but didn't get there, so I dropped and started taking out my notebook. So.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. I think it's fun. I like that you do this, and it's just like people in the New England pre-modern Discord will be like, hey, what's up? Like, and then you're on the spot.
Yes. I do find it funny that I'm starting to get poked for things for events I'm not at.
Sure.
So, for example, people will jokingly be like, EW, what are the results? Where's Hodge? And I'm like, I didn't go to EW. Sorry.
Yeah. Like the whole thing about hitting up Phil Nguyen to be like, lists when.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or hitting up Nick Mayo. Like, hey, when does registration open?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody ever tags me, though. Yeah. Actually, when people are talking about Tide and Wild Spec.
Yes.
Yeah. But I had to take a break.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I try to stay out of Wild Spec. I keep my eye on it. But
yeah.
It gets a little crazy in there.
Yeah. I'm just trying to move on with my life. Just toxic relationship.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, so bad. I got so spun up. I had to leave. I was being mean to people. What do we know about top eight so far?
Top eight so far. So right now we have all of the exos that drew in. So we know Mike Packard's on Enchantress. He'll probably be in second or third seed. Jesse on Tinker Fling. Yourself on your own corned beef hash.
Yep.
The other people who drew and are probably in is Drew on Tinker Fling. We have Jason, another Enchantress player, also probably going to be like seventh or eighth seed. Theo on Zombie Infestation Survival.
Hell yeah.
Probably going to be an eighth. Rich Shea just had to fight with Phil on Goblins, and the Enchantress player got there. So we're going to have three Enchantress players in the top
eight.
Wow. And right now we have JP on Terrageddon fighting Frank, your previous round opponent that you convinced to draw.
I didn't convince. I just said, hey, man, would you like to draw? And he said yes.
He agreed to draw at X01. We'll see how that works out for him. But he's fighting to make the top eight. So
I hope he makes it in, and I hope he knocks me out to get his vindication.
That would be good.
Yeah.
But it's strange because it's the second week in a row I've seen people do this where they're like, I don't like this matchup. I'm just going to draw. And it's a little questionable, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I'm playing... I've like teched for goblins lately. Go wide.
Yeah.
It's gotten a lot better since I started doing that. So we'll see.
Well, I remember in the past you've always said like those go wide strategies are a struggle. Elves, goblins.
Yeah. My big thing that I've done is against survival decks, I stop trying to be a survival deck.
Because they're just better at
it than me. So I swap it out for Cataclysms and Earthquakes.
Okay.
Which do not kill walls or Birds of Paradise.
True.
Yeah. So that's the first thing. And then against Go Wide, I keep the Survivals in by board out like a lot of the tutor targets. If I'm on the play, I keep Survival in. If I'm on the draw, I take Survival out. But okay. Also the Geddens and Sylvan Library or Survival or depending on whatever. Wayfarer on the play sometimes I take out. I keep one in because sometimes it does some cool stuff. But yeah, so we'll see how it goes for me.
Yeah.
I'm chuffed to be where I'm at, but yeah, we'll see. You have fun today?
Yeah, it's been a very fun day. Very strange metagame, as people have already called out. A lot of mud, a lot of... I don't think there's a single Dreadnought player in the room.
Good.
we turned them away at the door.
Yeah.
One Tide player. So yeah, a lot of interesting brews today.
A Nautilus event is a strange thing to see.
Yeah.
This store is particularly Nautilus.
Yes.
And very I think true. Yeah, and I think it's very, very black and it's very Nautilus.
No, so. That was something I haven't gone to a Zukuru event in a little while, but that was something I remembered even on just their normal Sundays where it's like very black.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to do something that they remember from 20 years ago.
Sure.
And it creates an interesting environment.
So, yeah. I like the store. Everybody's nice. They're a little bit more socially, a little bit tighter knit. Like this is
Yes.
This is like the Zukuru store.
Yes.
In a way. This store is very much a crew HQ where like Durskru like works with stores but we're mostly like house games.
Yeah.
But this is the Zukuru store. Like they'll like come here and like cube.
Yes.
Like
as this is very much their store. Phil basically runs it a part of it. So
Yeah. They should start paying them. Yeah. Who knows? All right, cool. Well, thanks for coming on, Hodge, in this little status update. So this is kind of turning into like a live tournament report.
Mm.
I wasn't expecting to do well because I eat shit against like the black, the hard black midrange decks.
Yep.
But yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Well, good luck with your top eight.
Thank you very much. Do me a favor, though, and tell the other top eight players because you just gave me a rundown as an act of like journalism.
I like to present the notebook to everybody.
Yeah,
so
you should,
not open deck list, but pretty much everyone in the top eight will know who they're playing.
Because it's going to be like this. Remember that time that Billy got a leak live on air? So,
no, yeah. I try to spread the knowledge around. If anyone asks,
okay,
I give it to them. So,
all right, cool. Yeah. All right, thanks, Hodge.
What's this?
I'm recording.
Oh, you're recording this. Okay, so there's a... there's a food chain that was randomly gifted off to anybody, and who's still here after this. And the person who won the food chain is Jake Murphy. And then, where's my phone? Theo. Somebody in here named Theo? Theodore? That's yours?
Yeah.
You won an Enlightened Tutor.
Oh, neat.
So this is for 9th through 13th. So 9th, Trent. Where are you, Trent?
Over here.
Trent, you won an Apocalypse Yavimaya Coast.
Sweet.
Phil Morin, this feels bad. You got 3 Zukuru right in a row. You're Phil Morin. Yeah, you didn't do good. You
also hey!
And then me also didn't do good.
Congrats.
So next 3. Oh, so here's 13. This is one of the best prizes. Yeah, great. This is one of the best prizes right here. So this is number 13. This is a Black Knight that got shipped to Jesse in this exact case. He donated that for prizing, and that goes to Bradstone. Keep it in that case, man. Alright, so the top 8's going to be Rich Shea in first place, John Paul Phelan in second, Mike Packer in third, the local Melbourne native Jesse Parnell in fourth, Billy, whatever, in fifth, Jason Laferte, I don't know, Drew, Big Drew. Put the bounty on him and everything, he only dropped one game. And then Theo.
Hey.
That's gonna be the top 8. We're gonna get that rolling in a second. I mean, fucking Hodge is gonna have your bearings, so.
All right, so this is just me on a monologue closing out. I died in top 4. So in top 8, I played against Jesse Parnell. who is on Flinker. I gave him a little heads up and said, like, hey, I know what you're on. I'm on corned beef hash, like survival terror gun. And he's like, okay, cool. We've played before. All right, cool. Thanks, man. Game one, I had a fast Armageddon with a naturally drawn wasteland. And then in game two, I got a turn one meddling mage naming Tinker. Turn two meddling mage naming Phyrexian Devourer. He played a altar, and then I played mage on Devourer. And so now he needs Rushing River to get out. He told me later that he had two Tinker in hand when I just turned one blind named it. And he started to, I could tell by his like sequencing that he didn't have much. So he played I started swinging. I put a morphed Nantuko Vigilante down. And he played a Tangle Wire when I think I had three or four lands, and I was able to attack him. He was at 12 when he did it, and I just went all in. I'm like, you know what? I think you need to have Rushing River and the combo, and I think you only have two turns to get it. So I actually declined to flip my Nantuko Vigilante on upkeep to destroy the altar. Maybe that was a mistake. I don't know. But he was at 12, and I know I could attack him for 6 if I committed my lands to it. I guess now, as I think about it, if I had just flipped it, that would have put him another turn behind. But I don't know, maybe it would have given him another turn to, like, Rushing River and, like, really get something crazy going. So I attacked him from 12 to 6, and then he had nothing. So I was victorious, and I advanced to the top 4. Then I'm paired up against the good Dr. Rich Shea. As always, beyond courteous. I admire his demeanor because it is so consistent. He's equanimous, just really, really an exemplary member of the community. He was on the play because he was the first seed. I think I was fifth seed. I mulled to 5 and there was not much there. I think it was like, I ended up shipping like a cradle lair hand, one of the costs of my deck. And then I multi-5, whatever. Not much of a game. Game two was actually kind of interesting. I got a fast, I think I got like, yeah, I went Mox, Wayfarer, Go, no land drop, because I know he's not going to do much. Although that is pretty cold to swords. Lucked out. He didn't swords me, so I went, I got a cradle, started playing walls and birds and stuff like that. I got a fast Terrorvore. Hit him with the Terrorvore down to about 14 when he starts building up steam. I had an Earthquake in my opener, but he led on Presence, not Enchantress. So I didn't get to use it, and I realized I have a cradle and I have a whole bunch of creatures, and I've hit him once with this Terrorvore. And he's doing his, like, Enchantress, Sturdling, drawing cards, and I'm like, if he just like plays a wave and sits on this Terrorvore, just holds it back for a little bit, I have a shot here. So I sacrifice lands to get like one good hit in with Terrorvore, everything except for the cradle, and I have a Safekeeper and like walls, birds, whatever, and I search up a cradle, the second cradle, which I just got, thank you Mike Packer. I'm like, if he lets me untap with red and just like, maybe he just like lets me have Wallaroot's birds, you know, if he can have my Terrorvore, if I play a threat, maybe he's like, oh, I'll just remove his threats with this wave, no big deal. So I'm sitting there with like 6 creatures, a cradle in hand, and he hits a replenish off his draws. And I was gonna Earthquake him for like 14 or something, and I was at 18, I think. But he defeated me, the ever gracious Dr. Rich Shea, final boss of Premodern. Really don't mind losing that guy. He's so pleasant and he's so good. And it's just like, what are you going to do? You know? So, yeah, that was my experience at the Zoo Crew. You can they play pre-modern every other Sunday. It's in Marlborough, Massachusetts. So that's like halfway between Worcester and Framingham. It's very easy to get to from 495 from 290. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Hello, listeners. This is Jay. I actually am just popping over. So Billy has his entire podcast set up, just kind of hanging out in a corner. And his computer was unlocked. So I just wanted to see if...
How much Billy actually edits these podcasts?
So let Billy know if this makes it into the final cut. Or if it doesn't. Maybe only Billy will hear this. In which case, hi, Billy. How are you doing? Congrats on the top four. Proud of you, bud. Glad you did well. Bye.